So many talking points to talk about out of the Australian Open from yesterday alone, and we're going to do that now with Mark Woodford, who's been good enough to join us again. Morning, Mark. Happy Australia Day.
Yeah, likewise. What a beautiful day it is.
How good's the weather been? Unbelievable for the tournament so far. Pretty tough on the players, though. It's been pretty hot. Now, are we getting a bit carried away, Mark, with the suggestions that Nick Kyrgios and Thanasi Kokkinakis are changing the face of tennis? They're changing the face of doubles. They're bringing a whole new audience to tennis. Is that a bit of an exaggeration, or is that on the money, in your opinion?
I think the spotlight is very just. I really believe that Nick and Thanasi have a wonderful opportunity of actually capturing the Australian Open men's doubles titles. As far as the drawing and the colour, the flavour that they're adding into the doubles game right now, during the time of the Woodies, there was an American pair, the Jensen brothers.
Yes.
That when they came onto the court, they had a connection with the Cartoon Network. And so they really tried to bring just a different fan base to the idea of coming out to watch doubles. And so Nick and Thanasi, I think, are doing a fantastic job. And obviously the doubles game, it needs an injection of personality, I believe. So look, unquestionably, Nick and Thanasi are doing a fantastic job. And in one sense, I think they're helping out Ash Barty as well, because they're taking away a bit of spotlight and pressure off of her.
But what happens post the Australian Open with this? I mean, they'll play some doubles again, but will this generate interest at the other Grand Slams, for example, if they play together? Will we see crowds flocking to watch these two play, or is this because it's in their home nation that there is such an interest?
Yeah, but look, predominantly it's because they're playing at home. And I think with Kyrgios, the fact that he hasn't played a whole lot over the last 12 months, had opted to stay at home given the travel restrictions. And of course, all of the injury problems that Thanasi Kokkinakis has endured over the last 3 or 4 years as well. So, but they have huge games. And I'm just so happy to see that they're out there playing doubles. And I hope that they do consider playing doubles more regularly than just going out and opting to play singles. And I think this is causing probably a few headaches for the Davis Cup captain, Leighton Hewitt, because they are an option. And that's in order for Australia to do well, whether it's the ATP Cup or Davis Cup, you need options of a viable doubles team.
What's making him such a good combination, Mark? I mean, they've knocked out four seeded pairs so far, and just because you're a good singles player and you're playing with another pretty good singles player, it doesn't make you a good doubles combination. So from what you've seen, what's going on in the background there?
a few friendly seagulls have come and...
you got some chips in your hand or something.
Well, I feel like this is very, get the effects like happens at the Australian Open late at night when they come down onto the court.
what is making these two such a good combination at the moment from what you're seeing?
I think that just their sheer presence, their personality, but also their game. I mean, they have big, strong games. It starts with a serve. Even though they're not playing traditional doubles, they stay on the baseline, but they back it up with powerful artillery from the ground. And I think that the doubles-only guys, like the number one seeds, Pavic and Medkic, who are have done incredibly well over the last 12 months. But, Nick and Thanasi are bringing their nuance. What they bring to the singles court can translate so well to the doubles court. And that's the advantage that Todd and I felt, the Woodies, that we were competing in singles week in, week out. And that helped our confidence, to build our confidence on the doubles court. And certainly the Australian crowd. I don't think there are, of the three teams that are still left in the draw, along with the 2Ks, I think they're a little worried that, not only are they going to have to play against Thanasi and Nick, but they're also going to have to try and contend with the crowd and the support.
No doubt about that. Nick's serving was unbelievable in that match. So just before we move on to some of the singles, going back to the Jensens, was it Luke and Murphy? And didn't one of them serve? Didn't one of them serve left and right-handed?
Dual hand Luke. That was it. He was he was tricky. And actually, I do quite a number of events back in the US with Luke and Murphy right now. And they keep talking to me like, you know, we never beat the Woodies. What is it? And I said, you know, you shouldn't have kept serving left and right-handed, Luke. You should have just gone with the lefty serve.
So, that's an unbelievable skill. Has anyone else done that in tennis? Both hands? Surely not.
Look, I don't think there is, but I believe there might be a young pair that are coming through the collegiate system right now that is attempting to play left and right-handed, not just for the serves, but I think when they're pushed out wide, he switches quickly switches the racket into the other hand. So we'll see how far he progresses out of the collegiate system.
That is unbelievable. We're talking to Mark Woodford. Ash Barty last night. I think we all expected Ash to be too good for Jessica Pegula. Were you surprised at how easy she did it? And do you put that down to the way Ash played, or do you think that part of it was the fact that Jessica just didn't have her best night?
I think it was all of that. You know, Jessica Pegula is, I think that was probably her limit, reaching the quarterfinals, not to take anything away from her. I think she is a player that you have to keep watch on for the rest of the season. And in 2023, she's still building her confidence and understanding what it takes to be a Grand Slam contender. But Ash Barty is, again, just showing her variety. And I think Pegula said afterwards that she's in the head of so many of her opponents. And Ash can diffuse whoever is up the other end, whatever game style they're coming with. And it's going to be a contrast in the next match against Madison Keys, because she's a big, powerful player, very much like Serena Williams. Hits it big with the serve as well as the from the ground. But I still feel that Ash is so equipped this year and has been for the last 6 months, being the Wimbledon champion. And I think she's just is not as much fear for her and the confidence and playing at home. So, but I do think that the focus is being spread out, so it's not totally on Ash's chances, which are certainly have improved with that victory last night.
Yeah, 100%. And Dylan Alcott still going strong and being named Australian of the Year. That's another big storyline out of the Australian Open so far. So we've got Rafa Nadal and Matteo Berrettini in one semi-final tonight on SEN. You'll be calling the match between Daniil Medvedev and Felix Auger-Aliassime. We just saw Daniel, who was so cool and calm against Nick Kyrgios earlier in the tournament. He did lose his cool a bit the other day in his match. Is that still a bit of a danger for Daniel, that sometimes mentally he can go astray in a match?
I think with Medvedev, that when he's been put to where his back has been against the wall at certain events, when he's got flustered, he still performs at a high level. I almost feel like it's the same as Ash Barty. He is much better equipped now. Just experience, the focus, the drive is still there to, like he's the anointed one to take over from the likes of Rafa and Roger and Novak. So his game is huge, though. I think he's going to have too much in the tank for Felix tonight, but you know, he's the danger person, I think, for Berrettini and Rafa, who probably are feeling a little bruised and fatigued after yesterday's epic five-set matches. But Medvedev is just moving through the tournament. I don't feel like there's been a lot of spotlight on the guy, and he really did start this year's tournament as the favourite.
He's got a case too, doesn't he? He said after his match the other day that he's been disappointed he hasn't played on Rod Laver Arena. He did once, and that was because he was playing Nick Kyrgios as essentially the number one seed in the tournament now. He's got a case there, doesn't he?
He does, and there are, look at these slams now, that they do try to divvy time up on the major show courts. I think for Medvedev, though, it's, you know, probably in the back of his mind, he knows that if he keeps on winning, then he's going to be out there on, you know, the show court on RLA. And I think he, you know, no problems about, you know, working his way through the tournament. He's still alive and still there for the title.
Jannik Sinner couldn't have been any more impressive against Alex de Minaur the other day. He plays Stefanos Tsitsipas today. It could be a great tournament for the Italians. Matteo Berrettini, the first Italian through to a semi-final in the Australian Open. He'd have to be a massive chance, wouldn't he, Sinner? Because I don't know what you think, but it doesn't seem like Tsitsipas is at his absolute best in this tournament.
No, well, you're right. So right there. With Tsitsipas, there was such a question mark over his fitness coming into the tournament. We saw him withdraw from a couple of matches at the ATP Cup thanks to the surgery that he had at the end of last year on his elbow. But very much like Rafa, the longer that he stays in the tournament, the more dangerous he becomes, Stefanos Tsitsipas. And I just love the way he plays. Again, the layers. He can stay on the baseline and hit big. He can move forward. I wish he would move forward a lot more often. There's a backhand slice. And I think he has a great following here in Australia. But Jannik Sinner is... he really did dismantle Demon the other day. He was able to sustain the power of Deminar and also the crowd. This is a guy that you really have to watch out. And if he may not be the finished product right now. This Jannik Sinner is a guy that I think will give the Australian Open and many other Grand Slam titles a real tilt in seasons to come.
Yeah, an exciting talent. Mark, once again, thanks so much for your time this morning, and we look forward to hearing you with Brett Phillips tonight, calling that big match between Felix Auger-Aliassime and Daniil Medvedev. Thanks again for your time.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, sir.